My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Coming up in 30 minutes, our first round of NFL picks for the season. I'm already off to a 1-0 start. Anthony's off to 0-1, but who's counting? Right now, though, on a football Friday, it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Jay Reacher hosts Middays. It is Friday. Oh, boy. Hosts Middays on WDAE in Tampa. Hopefully better than I am currently hosting afternoons. Jay, happy Friday. Thanks for doing this very silly radio show.
Hey, no problem at all. If anybody knows what the case of the Fridays is like, it's guys that work in the radio business. I'm all with you.
No doubt about it. Of course, WDAE in Tampa, the Bucks flagship down there, and that's one of the America's great sports talk stations down there in Tampa. And you guys have had an interesting training camp period, getting to know a new offensive coordinator coming off that NFC South championship last year for the Bucks. And that's where I want to start with you, Jay. What have been your first impressions of Liam Cohn taking over for Dave Canales, who obviously left for Carolina after the job that he did last year, leading a resurgent year for Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, really night and day. Just looking at one training camp to the next. I mean, one of the things that was, and we're always looking for things on radio, right? What are we hearing from the coaches as the season goes on? And I mean, we were befuddled. Week 18 last year, Dave Canales was talking about, yeah, we're still trying to find our identity. We're still trying to figure this out. That's the last thing you want to hear from your offensive coordinator if you haven't established your identity by week 18. You get a guy like Liam Cohn that comes in, he knows exactly what he wants to do. He's coming from that, you know, obviously the Sean McVay coaching tree. And even just something that he said yesterday as the team gets prepared for the game on Sunday, he's talking about experience. And, you know, the Buccaneers have a slew of running backs that are pretty good behind Rashad White and Bucky Irving and Sean Tucker. And Liam Cohn came out and said, listen, everybody wants to say, hey, how do we divvy up the carries? Let's not worry about that. In my experience, 3 running backs sometimes is too much. Let's just focus on our bell cow guy and then work everybody else in there. And just speaking from experience, the swagger that he has, you know, the confidence that he has, it's night and day from Dave Canales. So there's a lot of expectations when it comes to the offense, as good as they were last year, even taking another step forward this season.
So that's kind of fascinating to hear, because it sounds like was Canales not as well liked locally, perhaps, as the people that were talking about him nationally? Maybe that is an expectations thing versus seeing it every day. Like, was Canales actually not that well liked amongst Tampa folk?
I wouldn't say well liked, because he is an amazing human being. Like, this guy, he's a special guy. He really is. He just calling plays just wasn't his strength. And we said on our show that, you know, Dave Canales, in the long run, might end up being a better head coach than an offensive coordinator, because he has a lot of respect, but he just didn't establish an identity. I mean, you scored 9 points in the last game of the year against a woeful Carolina team. People really weren't upset and crying that Dave Canales moved on to Carolina, and it was kind of weird to hear that narrative over the last couple of months of people saying, well, I wonder if Baker is going to be able to, you know, do the job again for the second straight year with the Buccaneers without Dave Canales. Well, Dave Canales, I don't think, really put his players in a position to succeed. and I know I'm not the only person in the Tampa Bay area to say that, all 19 games last year, the 17 regular season games and the two postseason games, not one touchdown on the opening drive for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Questionable third down calls, inability to run the football, last in the NFL. They did all that, and they still won the division. The sky's the limit, I think, for this offense. And, yeah, Liam Cohen and Dave Canales, it's a well-received change in the Bay Area, that's for sure.
That is fascinating. That was a storyline that I was not aware of. Jay Reacher, this is why we do this segment.
I'm here for you, baby.
Yeah, this is why we do Not My Beat, where we get the inside scoop from people that, you know, it is their beat. It is what they cover every day. I am curious, though, Jay, what your beat thinks about our beat, if you will. Expectations for Washington are all over the place. There's all these rumblings and leak circles that people are really excited about Jaden Daniels. There's also a lot of national analysts or people outside of here that think the Commanders are going to absolutely stink. What has been the talk in Tampa this week about your first opponent, the team that I spend my days talking about?
Well, it's kind of ironic because Jaden Daniels' last game was actually, even though he didn't play in it, for LSU, was he was on the sidelines for the ReliaQuest Bowl at Raymond James Stadium. So we saw Jaden jumping up and down. I was like, oh, interesting where he's going to play next year, ironically enough, his first game as a professional in that same building at Raymond James Stadium against the Buccaneers. Yeah, it's kind of varied, kind of like what you just said, but I know there is kind of an overriding sentiment, at least on our station on WDAE, to not take Washington lightly because of the respect. You know, we've seen Dan Quinn before, right, when he was with the Falcons, saw him two times a year playing against the Buccaneers, knowing going to the Super Bowl. There's a lot of love and respect for a guy like Bobby Wagner, knowing that, hey, when your quarterback of the defense is a guy that's probably going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, the defense is going to be, you know, at least on their P's and Q's. A lot of respect for Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen on the defensive line there. You know, maybe in the secondary, I think that's where the Buccaneers, or at least Tampa Bay fans, look at it and say, hey, all right, this is where, you know, we could have an advantage here, especially with guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But even though a young quarterback with Jaden Daniels, we have had, even though it was pre-Todd Bowles, some terrible experiences for the Buccaneers against rookie quarterbacks, against backup quarterbacks. So even though there's a lot of confidence when it comes to the Buccaneers, in no way, shape, or form is anybody kind of looking past this game, there's still a lot of respect for a team that I think there's a lot of varying opinions on what's going to happen. I actually had them, you know, slightly missing the playoffs when we did our predictions on Wednesday. I'm higher on Washington than most others.
I don't know. I'm trying to get too caught up in the hype around here of all the things that are going in the right direction. It's not that I don't think they're going in the right direction. It's just I realize how long the path is that they have to walk in said direction, considering the starting point. Obviously, it's going to be there's a couple bumps in that road very early on that Todd Bowles is going to throw at Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and this offense. What's it been like to cover Bowles and what kind of strategy is and what kind of things you think Bowles employs to try to trip up this rookie quarterback this weekend?
One thing I've learned about Todd Bowles, and I had a very kind of unique experience because I'm originally from New York and half of my family is Jets fans. The other half is Giants fans. So, you know, the Jets side were like, they were so anti-Todd Bowles. And when they saw that he got hired in Tampa Bay, they were like, good luck, this isn't going to work out. And I had my reservations too. But one thing that we've seen with Todd Bowles is in the last couple of years, and you saw it yesterday in the press conference or the other day in the press conference when he's banging the table saying that he's excited, he's kind of like changing. And he's kind of like adapting to the new style, to the new players. And the players love him. There's so much respect for Todd Bowles. He's an evil genius on defense. He'll drop big old Vita Vea in the coverage. He'll be rushing from anywhere and everywhere. And he relishes these challenges against these young quarterbacks that not only going to be able to make plays in the pocket, but also use their legs. And that's why I think a big part of this game is going to be how the contain is going to be on the outside. I look for a guy like Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, who at times has been very over-aggressive and over-pursues. If he does not contain that backside, Jaden Daniels can really cause some issue for this Buccaneers defense. Todd Bowles is going to have a lot of exotic blitzes, but he's going to make sure that he's going to put those guys in a position to succeed on Sunday.
And then full circle, what do you think is the biggest key? I say full circle because I think I know where you're going to go here based off of what we've said so far. But what do you think the biggest key is for the Bucs on Sunday if they want to take down Washington in this opener?
I think it's for them, it's just not trying to like recreate the wheel here. Run the football. We just spoke about it a little bit before about how there was the worst rushing attack in the NFL. you draft Graham Barton with that, you know, first round pick out of Duke. He's won that center job. You got Ben Bredesen, the veteran left guard, to go with the other three fifths of your offensive line. That's pretty good. I think if the Buccaneers, you win the turnover battle, run the football, and just kind of contain Jaden Daniels, I think they give themselves a good opportunity. If this game said, it's almost like a boxing match, right? If you just box and you use your jab, you'll be in good shape. But if you get into a firefight, I think that's when you kind of leave yourself open to the possibility of letting Jaden Daniels go, get out in space. If he can do that, then throw the script out of the window, man. You just never know. And, hey, it's the NFL. You never really have an idea until the game actually happens.
No, that's true, because everything you said is, like, sounds good. I would actually go the other way, to be honest with you, Jay. Like, as Jay Reacher's our guest here from WDAE in Tampa, if I was the Bucks, I'd be like, all right, Emmanuel Forbes, all right, Benjamin St. Juice, you're apparently going to be better coach this year. Let's see what you got. And I would make I would try to make the Commanders chase the game and know that I've got this blitz package and he's a rookie quarterback. I actually think that if the game becomes a bit more of a slugfest, that Brian Robinson's getting a bunch of carries for Washington and, right. they're not testing those corners or Tampa's not having Washington's corners tested. I actually wonder if that tips in the favor of the Commanders.
Yeah, it's a good point. Listen, I think we always go back to, like, running the football, right? And the games are always won and lost on the line of scrimmage. So I think looking at that very early on, I think we've noticed that throughout the first couple of weeks in the college season as well as the game last night, you win that battle in the trenches, whoever's stronger at the line of scrimmage, even early on in the game, you can kind of tell how it's going to look later on. And, you know, whoever wins that, you know, it's going to be a good contest either way.
No doubt about it. Jay Reacher, if you want a Tampa side of things, you can check out what he was doing all week long down on WDAE. Jay, really appreciate the time, and enjoy the opening weekend of the NFL.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate you having me. Talk to you again soon. Thanks.
That sounds good. Jay Reacher, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. And when we get back, Anthony, what are we doing when we get back?
We're going to discuss in the break.
Mystery box, next!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Anthony, when did this album come out for you? When were you heavy into Kid Cudi?
This album came out
probably high school for you.
This got to be like 2010, 2011 maybe.
Well, no, it came out the same year for both of us. I was trying to figure out where you were in that year.
I was in high school.
I distinctly remember listening to this album walking around the campus of Middle Tennessee State University.
Yeah, I was
only
in high school.
A 2-year window in my life, and thus I know when it came out.
Oh, so 2010, 2011.
Yeah, it was more 2008, 2009-ish.
Oh,
my guess is it probably came out in 2008, and I was, you know, bopping it.
Oh, I was in middle school. Good gracious, Craig.
I was in college already, bro.
Yeah, you were in college. I was in middle school. I think that says a lot about how young I was. Yeah.
It's the Hoffman Show, a show that doesn't have a producer anymore because he's dead. Here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free house. I sent you that meme
TikTok. Funny.
Now I want to go find it again and play it.
That was so funny.
What's that original audio for? I sent it to you. Or no, I think I commented Yeah,
you did.
On Instagram.
Yep.
So if you can find a way to pull that up. I also don't know that there's not any swearing in it, though. So
there wasn't. Play
it live. Oh, there's not? Okay.
There wasn't.
It was an age-related joke meme. It's Kevin Hart and someone from something. I don't know what the original's from, but one of the soccer teams acted it out. I think it was Allie Riley and Alyssa Thompson from Angel City acted it out. And it was funny. I was like, this really is us sometimes. And then here we are live on the radio, Anthony making fun of how old I am, even though I'm not that much older than him. Literally yesterday, we were talking about something. By the way, we're going to do our weekend preview in a second, which is still brought to you by
nobody, Craig. Why is that?
I have to ask someone who's not me. I almost threw someone under the bus there. Okay, got in trouble. Anthony's really trying to get me fired and fired up this second. I think it's on the Angel City Instagram page, Anthony, if you want to.
Okay, there it is.
Go. Yeah, but then I was like, this really is us sometimes. And then here we are. Live on the radio, Anthony basically does this to me in real life.
All the time. You know, it's love. That's all.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, thanks, Anthony.
Oh, there it is. Boom. Should I play it?
Yeah.
All right, let me make sure the volume is up. Boom. And this is usually how it goes.
And me, you know, I'm 56 years old.
Damn!
I'm sorry. Because it was a thought. No, seriously, it was a thought. It was thought, and I blurted it out.
I'm fine.
I did not mean it that way.
I'm fine.
Okay, but just understand, I didn't mean it the way it came out.
We'll take a poll on how you meant it. And me.
Hey, we should take a poll on how you meant it, Anthony.
Yes, we should.
How do you think that poll would go for you?
I think it would go really good, actually.
What? Define really good.
It was more so because I focused on me. It just... You know, I told you, it showed how young
and Anthony's dead. Our weekend preview is brought to you by nobody. It doesn't stop us from doing it, though. We'll get to our NFL game picks in just a moment. College football this weekend, not a particularly sexy slate, Anthony. You picked a good weekend to have a wedding and not watch college football. Texas, Michigan is the highlight. It is at the Big House. Texas 7-point favorites on the road, though. This is Fox's Big Noon Saturday game tomorrow. Other than that, there's not really a lot of ranked on ranked action. Like, there's not even a lot of, amongst the top 25 single digit point spreads, Anthony. One, however, is Iowa State. Iowa 3-point favorites at home over Iowa State. Other than that, you got Kansas favored by 4 on the road over Illinois. And then you got a ranked on ranked situation. Now, I thought there was one more. Maybe not. Yeah, there it is. Tennessee and NC State. Tennessee 9.5-point favorites on the road against the Wolfpack.
That's going to be a hell of a game.
Who you got?
So I've been playing NCAA.
Uh-huh.
Since
the best kind of research.
Yeah, and I didn't really know too much about Tennessee, but the quarterback they have, I think he's a freshman. That dude is a freak athlete. He's 6'6". He can move. He can jump. He used to play volleyball in high school, so he's a freak athlete.
I think I saw that. I think I saw some on him, like, floating around Instagram.
Yeah. And then they have a couple of receivers that are really good, and that's my favorite team to use in NCAA. And then they have a game wrecker in James Pierce, who is, for some reason, I don't think he played last week. I was trying to search his stats early in the week because I know in NCAA, he is probably one of the best players in the game. He is a problem.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a good one.
And NC State's not exactly notorious for being a tough place to play.
Yeah.
Not the world's greatest, but we'll see. Maybe they'll get rowdy in Raleigh. For Tennessee coming to town. But yeah, fairly light college football weekend. But there's plenty to watch, sports wise across the spectrum this weekend. Tomorrow, 12:30, Audi Field, the reunion, Anthony, of 2/3 of Triple Espresso from the U.S. Women's National Team, gold-winning team this summer. You got Sophia Smith and the Portland Thorns coming to town to take on Trinity Rodman and the Washington Spirit. So that is 12:30 tomorrow. And, Anthony, we didn't get a chance to touch on this at all yesterday. Did you see the huge Spirit announcement yesterday morning?
The huge Spirit announcement.
I sent it to you, so you definitely saw it.
Oh, yes, I saw it. Yes, yes.
The Magic Man's in. Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson is now an investor in the Washington Spirit, so he'll be at the game tomorrow. That had to be one big soccer jersey they got for him.
Yeah, he's a big guy. A big guy, and yeah.
I would love to see like him and Croy Bethune meet, because Croy is like 5'2".
Man.
5'3". Magic's 6'9". There's just sometimes – it's like the LeBron-Kevin Hart commercial. We were like, those are the same – those are both the same species?
Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah. So NWSL, the other big game of the weekend of note is Sunday night, 8 p.m. on NWSL Plus, Alex Morgan's last ever professional soccer game. So we'll see if the U.S. Women's National Team does any kind of send-off game or anything for her. But, like, she's retiring – fairly instantaneously because she's pregnant. And so it's not like you have a long time before she can't play anymore. But Alex will be out there one final time for San Diego Wave on Sunday night. Some great W games this weekend, including tonight, Aces Sun tonight. You also got Lynx Fever tonight. The Fever are red hot as Caitlin Clark is coming off a triple-double. By the way, Sparks Sky tonight. If the Sky beat L.A., L.A. is officially out of the playoff race. They've unofficially been out of it for a long time. And then Sunday, you have the Aces and Liberty. So you got your NBA Finals, or WNBA Finals, I beg your pardon, rematch. Asia Wilson, Brianna Stewart, you know, Liberty having an unbelievable season. Stewie having not quite as good of a statistical season this year. Asia Wilson, meanwhile, his kind of roles flipped from last year. Stewie was having an unbelievable statistical season, won the MVP, very, very tight MVP race. This year, it shouldn't be. If anybody doesn't vote for Asia Wilson, they should have their MVP vote stripped.
Yeah, it should be unanimous.
It is that ridiculous.
She's how crazy?
27-5-12. Like, as in 27.5 points per game, 12 rebounds a game. They play 40 minutes in the W, Anthony.
Yeah, that's outlandish. Outlandish behavior.
Like, that's MVP numbers in the league, in the NBA, where they play 48-minute games. So that's Sunday at 4, Fever Dream Sunday at 4, Mystics back in action at ESA Sunday at 3. TBD if Ariel Atkins is able to play. She went out last night with an ankle injury. Mystics were able to get the win, though, in Phoenix. Other than that, I feel like there's one other thing. Nats, obviously, in Pittsburgh this weekend. And you then got
the U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah. I knew I was forgetting something. Francis Tiafoe. By the way, bro, Tiafoe, he always loves to wear the jerseys in warmups. He's wearing a Knicks jersey.
I did see that, Carmelo Anthony.
It's a big spot. It's a big spot. Why are we wearing a Knicks jersey? Famously not great in big spots. Not in 30 years.
Ah, you might be right.
Not that he could wear a Wizards jersey. They haven't been in the big spots. If Francis Tiafoe wore a Wizards jersey in a U.S. Open semifinal, that would be the most competitive spot a Wizards jersey has been since 1979. I'm sorry, but it's true.
It's a sad truth.
Hopefully that can change. That's not a shot at you, Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. It's just you have a long way to go. You know that. It's fine. But yeah. So Tiafoe, Fritz tonight, All-American U.S. semifinal. So that's on this weekend. And then we got an American in the women's final, Jessica Pegula, the daughter, of course, of the Bills owners, we shouldn't have to say that. She's Jessica Pegula, top 10 tennis player. She's awesome. And she's taken on Aryna Sabalenka, who is the number 2 player in the world and probably the best hardcore player in the world, who is just...
She is dominant, dog.
You want to talk about a powerhouse?
Yeah.
Do you know who has the fastest forehand in the U.S. Open?
She does.
Aryna Sabalenka, and that's men and women. Her forehand speed, at least going into the semifinal, I don't know if it's updated since. Well, the guy who's in second was Carlos Alcaraz, and he's been eliminated, so I'm going to guess this is still true.
Yannick Sinner isn't up there. His forehand is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there, but Sabalenka was the only player in the U.S. Open whose top spin forehand average speed was over 80 miles an hour.
God, dying.
Yeah, so that's tomorrow at the U.S. Open. And then also U.S. men's soccer is taking on Canada Saturday, 4 o'clock. That's in Kansas City. You might have seen Christian Pulisic and the boys at the game last night. Of course, biggest feature of the weekend, NFL football. It's back, and we're picking every single game in the next half hour on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. I never realized how hard this, I mean, I knew this song like slap, but I didn't realize just without the vocal how hard this went, Anthony.
I love this beat.
I did not realize that Sale was like that had that depth to it. Like, dang. I need to put that on like my running playlist. I know it's like a slow beats per minute, but I think I might fly to that song.
Oh man. Now you might.
Yeah. Is there a song, we'll get to our NFL picks very quickly, but is there a song that if you have to like go there in a workout, like you have to lose your mind, you have to black out to whether it's an all out sprint, whether it's a heavy lift, like what is your go to?
I probably go with Meek Mill. Anything Meek Mill, to be honest. Like, Meek Mill gets me going. Like, it could be 1942 slow flows, Dreams and Nightmares.
Yeah, Dreams. I mean, when Dreams and Nightmares hits,
it could be anything for me. Meek is my favorite artist when I'm in the gym for real. He's my go-to guy.
So, when I'm running specifically, like there's one song that when I make a running playlist for like a race, or something that I'm trying to hit a time goal in, that goes last. And you're going to be like, wait, what? At first. But if you know the song, you're also going to be like, oh, yeah. And now I just lost the name of it. Oh, my God.
That's the worst.
It's Imagine Dragons with Kendrick. And it's so that, what is the song with, oh, my God, I'm blanking now. This is going to drive me absolutely insane. I'm literally furiously typing to get this
Radioactive.
Correct. Yes. The Radioactive remix with Kendrick Lamar at the end of a long... This is not like my go-to if I have to lift 350 pounds. But if I'm on a longer run and I want to sprint home my last little bit, I want to make that cutoff time of whatever I've set in that race. When that verse drops from Kendrick at the end of Radioactive, I think my body goes numb and I turn into a different human.
Wow.
So try it out sometime.
I'm going to try Radioactive. I'm going to add it to the playlist just so I don't forget. As long as it's at the
top. It's
got to
be the Kendrick
playlist
version, because it's not, there's just something, the way his verse builds, there's something that is sustainable and powerful about just losing your freaking mind. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I just ran really fast.
I'm going to let you know Monday.
There we go. Now that we've taken that long of a detour, let's get back on track. It is time, Anthony, for our NFL picks. Week one, we go around the NFL. Yes. Get us that music. Speaking of music, to get you going, that just pumps through your veins. It makes you feel a certain type of way. NFL films, when have they never not delivered? Here's how this works. We go through every single NFL game. We don't just pick them. That would be boring. We go, hey, I got this team. No, we give you actual analysis as well, because that's what you come to the radio for. And it all started last night where we forgot to do this for Thursday Night Football. I did pick the Chiefs. Anthony did pick the Ravens. And so I start 1-0. He's 0-1. Okay. Packers and Eagles tonight in Sao Paulo, Anthony. Who you got? Why?
For some reason, I'm seeming to lean the Green Bay Packers. And I think it's because of Josh Jacobs. I think they're going to really lean on this guy to be their bell cow all season long. I think he's a better physical and, you know, all-around back than Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones out of the backfield is phenomenal. But I think Josh Jacobs just offers a little bit more. And with A.J. Dillon nursing the injury, I think he's going to be the guy that they really lean on. And then Jordan Love, he's the guy that I'm expecting to, you know, take that next leap. And I think it's going to start week one. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to set the tone early and often.
I agree with you. I think Jordan Love is, like, who's the better quarterback in this game? Jordan Love is. I know that sounds crazy because Jalen was an MVP, you know, front runner 2 years ago. And they started 10-1 last year. And I do think that he still has room to grow. I think there's stuff he does really well. I don't think Jalen Hurts is a bad player. But I do, one, again, I hate the vibes in Philadelphia. The Sirianni Hurts thing is weird, and I don't like it. And until they prove that they can overcome it, I'm not sold. And I also just think the Packers are going to be really good. If there wasn't, like, if they were in not the NFC North with the Lions or not the NFC West with the 49ers, I'd probably pick the Packers to win every other division. Like, I think I legitimately like them that much in the NFC. I'd certainly pick them to win the NFC East, and I'd probably pick them over Atlanta to win the NFC South. Like, Atlanta feels strong, but it's because they're in a terrible division. I'd probably take the Packers. I am that big of a fan of Matt LaFleur, that big of a fan of Jordan Love. I think they really came together beautifully at the end of last year, and I think what they did was sustainable. And their defense should be, you know, continually improving as well. So I'll take the Packers tonight, despite Philly being 2.5-point favorites down in Sao Paulo. We'll come back to Commanders, Bucks. Don't let me forget it, Anthony. Steelers and Falcons. This one's hard to pick because we don't know if Russell Wilson or Justin Fields is going to play. Wilson currently experiencing calf tightness. However, they are 3.5-point dogs on the road. So maybe it won't be as hard to pick, Anthony, because I was pick the Falcons either way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't think it really matters who quarterbacks this game for the Steelers. I think the Falcons are the better overall team. They got so much better in free agency offensively and defensively. And
you love to point out the defensive improvements for Atlanta. It's like your favorite analysis. You're like, man, don't forget they got Justin Simmons. Don't forget they got Matthew Judon. I'm like, I didn't forget, Anthony, but
I mean, they already had.
I took your analysis there. Sorry.
They already had, you know, a couple of pieces in place. So I'm really excited for the fact. I think that the Falcons low-key are going to be a sleeper just because.
I don't disagree. Like, I know what I just said about the Packers and Atlanta, but, like, Atlanta might be the team I like fourth best in the NFC. Like, I think they're going to be, as long as Kirk comes back from the Achilles, people forget, in part because he's Kirk and everyone loves to dump on Kirk, especially around here, or feels a certain type of way about Kirk. But, like, Kirk was balling last year. Like, that was Kirk Cousins' best season of his career was last year until he got hurt, which is the first time in his career he's ever been hurt. So if he comes back and plays at 95% of that level, like, we're still talking about a pretty high-level quarterback. And that was happening, by the way. Like, the numbers might not fully appreciate that because they had a bunch of dumb turnovers, including, like, some in the red zone. There was one, the wacky one that happened with Justin Jefferson at the goal line in that, what was it, the Thursday night game against the Eagles in, I think it was week two last year. So, like, add a touchdown to his total there. Add a couple more where they don't get points because of turnovers that weren't on Cousins. It wasn't like he was throwing a bunch of picks or even getting unlucky. Like, they could not hold onto the ball. It was freaking weird. And so I think Kirk is due for a huge year. It's the best set of weapons he's ever had in totality. Obviously, he's had a great one with Jefferson the past couple years. But I think it's going to be fun to watch in Atlanta this year. Cardinals and Bills. I don't want a 1-2-3 Bills this one, although we're probably both going to take Buffalo, I would imagine, just because I think the Cardinals deserve, like, a shout. Like, I think they played really hard last year. I think they're such an example of what Washington should be trying to do in terms of clearly establishing play style. Of course, we hope that it goes better than the four wins that Arizona had last year. They were fighting an uphill battle without their starting quarterback most of the year. But Kyler played pretty well at the end of the year. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a monster, even though, you know, he's a rookie. There's some stuff to like on that defense. Like, the Cardinals are going to be a pain in the butt that's still 1 year away from having the roster to really compete, and they're in a brutal division. But I'm taking the Bills in the football game this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Cardinals here. This might be a shocker. I'm not a big fan of Josh Allen, to be honest. To me, I feel as though he's a little overrated. I'm not going to lie, Craig. I think he's a little overrated. And I think the Cardinals last year, all season long, they were a tough out. And that's what I'm hoping the Commanders are. I don't want us to, you know, get destroyed like we did every game last year. I want us to, you know, be competitive, compete.
I don't really care what you're saying right now. Josh Allen's overrated?
I think so. Are you going to say would you say he's a top five quarterback?
Yes.
Top three?
I think, yeah. I mean, Mahomes, Allen.
And I respectfully disagree, but I'm also
Lamar, Burrow, like, those are the guys. Like, he's top four. Who else would you put in there?
I'm going to – you got Burrow, Mahomes, Lamar. And to be honest, I'd go Dak over him as well.
No. Look, I've spent the summer fighting with people about how good Dak is. He's not better than Josh Allen. If you want to try to make a Herbert argument based off whatever,
I haven't seen Herbert win big games either, though. I love Herbert as well.
Realize how well Josh Allen's played in some of these games that Mahomes has beat him in? It's literally because Mahomes is on the other side. What are we doing?
Just saying, Craig.
All right.
This is my opinion. I'm going to write this at the bottom of our prediction sheet, and we're going to take a look back at the season Josh Allen had. That's all I'm saying.
And when he's top five in MVP voting, or maybe wins the whole MVP, then I'm going to greatly look forward to this.
That is
all right. So you're taking the Cardinals.
I'm taking the Cardinals.
You wonder why your picks have a terrible record by the end of every year.
Oh, Titans, my gosh.
Titans and Bears, the Caleb Williams debut. Who you got in this one?
I'm going with the Bears. I don't believe in the Titans at all. I will say the Titans defensively will come to play. I think Caleb Williams will have a tough time getting acclimated, but Will Levis is going to struggle. I think the Bears defense is going to get after him. And I think it's going to be a closer game than we expect, but I expect the Bears to pull it out. They just have too much offensive talent.
The Titans are super intriguing to me in a very silly way. Like, I like Brian Callahan a lot. As like I heard some interviews and stuff with him, and I'm like, I like this guy. I think he gets it. And Bill Callahan early in a tenure, before his offensive line succumbs to injuries, like, outstanding. And even when he's had to fight injuries, like, he's such a good coach that there is a lag time on how good offensive lines are after he leaves. The Cowboys had a great offensive line like for 4 years after Callahan left. And it was because, yes, they invested in it with Zach Martin and Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith. But he coached those guys up to such a high level that they remained excellent. There was no drop off. And they, you know, one of his disciples, I think, took over as the O-line coach. And then Cleveland has been awesome. Washington, even, their O-line play wasn't hugely problematic until like 2-3 years after Bill Callahan left and all the players that he had coached had been rotated out. He's that good of a coach. And so I do think that there is a floor under Tennessee because they will not be bad on the offensive line. I'm taking Chicago. I think Chicago could be really good. But like, Tennessee could be a Cardinals-esque team that struggles because their quarterback is, you know, Will Levis is going to be incredibly up and down. If they're lucky, he might just be down. But dang, man, like, their offensive line is not going to be the problem. I can tell you that much. Patriots and Bengals. Cincinnati, 7.5-point favorites. We picked the game straight up, by the way. I'm just mentioning the spreads for reference. 1-2-3 Bengals.
Did you see the news coming out of Cincy?
Is Burrow out? Oh, I know Higgins is out, and I know Chase might not play, but is Burrow out?
Nah, Burrow's still playing.
Okay, Bengals.
I'm going to go with the Bengals, but I think your point spread of 8.5.
Oh, I would take – I gave that game out at 8.5, Patriots plus 8.5 on competition Wednesday. I already picked it against the spread for the Patriots.
Oh, I thought it was the Bengals. Oh, I might have wrote that wrong. Okay, never mind.
I have it written down, so I have safety on that one.
Never mind. Yeah, you're good.
Patriots plus 8.5. It's down to 7.5 already.
It's good. All right, yeah, that's a good one, Craig.
Head-to-head?
Yeah, I'm still going to go to Bengals.
You know, picking the game straight up?
Yeah.
Cincy. Right. You're on Cincy?
Yeah, I got the Bengals. Okay. I got the Bengals pulling it out.
Look, the Patriots defensively might be annoying, and if you don't have any weapons, that's going to be hard. But, like, Joe Burrow's still really good, and, I mean, look, Jacoby Brissett's fine, but he has no one to throw to. Texans and Colts, Houston, 3-point favorites over your boys in Indy. Anthony.
You know where I'm going. I want to hear what you have to say, Craig. You know where I'm going.
Yeah, you're going with your boys.
I'm going with the Colts.
Yeah, and your boys. And that's fine. I respect that. And there's honestly a part of me that thinks that while the Texans are going, actually, you want to know what? I'm going to go with the Colts, too. I'm going to go with the Colts in week 1. I picked the Texans to win the division. I still believe over the long run that's going to be true. But I know how much this game means to Indy, and it's the home opener. Building's going to be juiced. They're going to want to come out and prove stuff. I know, you know, Houston's going to want to prove that they're one of the best teams in the league, so I'm not saying that Houston's not going to have any juice for this game. But I do think that, like, Houston, one of the things that Houston's got to make sure they do is not feel like they're too big for their britches, to use a classic phrase that lots of people use in 2024. They have to make sure that they don't get ahead of themselves. And it's hard to do that against a division opponent, but like, I do wonder, is there a world where they go out, Indy beats them, it's a little bit humbling, and D'Amico's like, thank God. And then that becomes the game they rally around. Hey, don't overestimate anybody. And it's a lesson they learn quickly as a young football team that's on the ascent, that's got a lot of expectations, and that propels them to winning the division and being one of the best teams in the AFC.
Sometimes you need that at the start of the season. I think what happened to the Ravens yesterday is cool. Tough loss, great game. You live to see another day. I'm going with the Colts. They have this game circled since January.
I might be being Anthony/Z-pilled here, but I'm gonna.
If you want to go with the Texans, go with the Texans.
You want me to go with the Texans? I'm not going with the Texans. I'm going with the Colts.
All right.
Jags and Dolphins. The battle for Florida is on. Miami's 3.5-point favorites. Anthony at home. Who you got?
I think I'm gonna go with the Dolphins. They always start fast. First game at home. And also, I'm just not all that much of a believer in Trevor Lawrence. I'm excited to see what they do. Now, the Dolphins will be without Jalen Ramsey, so I think that does, you know, change things defensively for the Dolphins. But I think they just have too much offensive firepower. And I think Tua and, you know, Mike McDaniel, like the best part of, you know, this being a week one game, you don't necessarily know what to necessarily prepare for. So I think Mike McDaniel, just how strategic he is, how good of a offensive mind he is, I think it's going to be too much for, you know, the Jags.
Yeah, remember last year when they came out with this, the motions, like the quick short motions, and everyone was like, what do we do with this?
Yep.
Imagine being the first team that has to figure that out in real time. Yep. Sorry, Jags, I'm taking Miami. Panthers and Saints. Look, we don't have to talk about this game much, but I'm going to take the Saints at home. Carolina's just not that good of a roster. I think they're better than last year. They at least look like a competent organization through a half of an offseason. Good for them. The team of my childhood. I hope that they figure it out. New Orleans is like the team that nobody cares about in the entire, everyone, like, it's a weird year in New Orleans. Everyone's just waiting for the year to play out and Dennis Allen to get fired and then to move on from Derek Carr. But I'll take the Saints.
Yeah, I'm going with the Saints too.
Okay. Vikings and Giants, Sam Darnold and company, 1.5-point favorites against Daniel Jones and Big Blue. Who you got?
I'm going with the Giants. I'm going with the Giants. Defensively, I really love what they have up front, their front seven. The back seven, you know, they have some young guys. I mean, the back four, my bad. They have some young guys, but I think Deontay Banks, I think he's going to take a step. Offensively, there are questions. Daniel Jones, of course.
You think?
The running back, the line. But I think defensively, I think they're going to put their offense in position to, you know, capitalize off of Sam Darnold's mistake. I'm not too confident in Sam Darnold. He does have weapons offensively, but I think the Giants front seven is going to overwhelm him.
I think the back four is the more important thing. I think O'Connell knows what he's going up against. He's going to scheme it up, and he'll get the ball out of Darnold's hands quickly, and it will mostly be in the hands of Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. My fantasy team certainly hopes so, but I also think that will be enough for Minnesota to get the win. All right, let's quickly roll through the 4 o'clock games. Anthony, Raiders, Chargers. I'll take L.A. at home. Just Harbaugh, man. Harbaugh and Herbert, good enough for me against the Raiders.
I'm going with the Raiders. I'm going Antonio Pierce and crew. That's who I'm going with.
One loss on the Raiders box, one loss closer to Devontae Adams saying, get me the hell out of here.
Yep.
Broncos and Seahawks, Seattle 6-point favorites at home. That is a tough place for Bo Nix to make his debut. I just think Seattle's low-key roster-wise, really good.
Very underrated. Very slept on. I'm going with the Seahawks as well. Defensively, they are stout on the outside. Yeah, I think it's going to be too much for Bo Nix.
Cowboys, Browns, Tom Brady's broadcasting debut. Much, much anticipated. Browns 2.5-point favorites. By the way, congrats to my guy / friend of the show, Andrew Siciliano. Got the Browns play-by-play job. Mm-hmm. Love that for Andrew. Rest in native, Andrew Siciliano. But on the field, Anthony, who you got in this one?
I think I'm going to go with the guy I said is a top four quarterback in the league. I'm going with the Cowboys to win this one.
Yeah, I also am going to go with the Cowboys. I'm as famously anti-Browns, yep, as long as their quarterback is there. But I also just, like, he's not good anymore.
Yeah, he isn't.
Unless he turns it around. He played a little bit better in stretches last year, but he mostly wasn't that good. And his ego is so fragile that they couldn't keep Joe Flacco in the building. So I just doesn't scream like gonna beat good teams. I think the Cowboys are still a pretty good team. Certainly have questions. They're gonna have to sling it a lot to make sure they can deal with that front and Myles Garrett and everybody because they don't have much of a running game. But I also think like there's a little bit of an advantage for Dallas having a new defensive coordinator. Cleveland doesn't know where the pressures are going to come from. Mike Zimmer's had a couple years to scheme some new stuff up. He's got pretty intense blitz packages, so I'm excited to see what that looks like for Dallas against Cleveland. Rams, Lions, Sunday night football. Detroit, 4.5-point favorites at home, rematch of the playoff game from last year. I just don't know that the Rams have quite enough defensively. Even though I'm a Matthew Stafford stan, I'll take Detroit at home.
Yeah, I'm going with the Lions as well for the same reason. I don't know. I couldn't name one player on the Rams defense right now. I couldn't name one.
Jared Verse.
Is that who they drafted?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair then.
Yeah. And then they drafted his teammate. They got drafted his teammate. I'm trying to remember what his name is. Jets and 49ers. San Francisco, 4.5-point favorites at home. Ayuk playing. Trent Williams playing, as far as we know. Of course, Aaron Rodgers' gold, make it longer into this game than he did the season opener last year on Monday Night Football. I will take San Francisco here, despite all the turmoil, because if you want a place where they had a weirder offseason than San Francisco, may I present to you the New York Jets.
I'm going with the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets. Did I get it right?
You almost did. You just didn't finish. J-E-T-S. Right. Yeah, Jets.
I'm going with the Jets. I think Aaron Rodgers, man. Hey, this is a statement game for Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people are writing this guy off. He's going to answer a lot of his critics with a dub.
San Francisco's still without a couple of key guys defensively. Obviously, Tufunga and Dre Greenlaw, who had the terrible Achilles tear in the Super Bowl. So they're not quite at full strength, but I believe in what they're doing. I think they'll control the game. I think McCaffrey will do his thing. Although he's been banged up a little bit, too. So.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm still taking the San Francisco 49ers. They just – San Francisco. Kyle figured it out. All right, that's week one of picks. When we get back, we stop picking games. We start picking players. It'll be our pick six at six. Who are we most interested to watch in Bucks Commanders this weekend? We will tell you. One player at a time. Anthony and I each get three next on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.